Okay, welcome to another edition of the Movie Madness Podcast. On this wonderful snowy day, I think it's a bomb cyclone. I think that's why we're getting snow. But I am very pleased to have my next guest, my current guest, who's my on this show. I think I should do a do-over. I'm not going to do this over. I have no time. We've already running late. But here are my guests, Chris Bloomer.
Hello. Thank you for having me, Jason.
I like how you look at your levels. You're making sure you're self-leveling.
Just making sure everything's on the up and up.
I know. Well, because I have no engineer, and we're running 40 minutes late.
It's all right. What does time matter? What does it matter?
Well, the thing is,
comics. It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful
day. We've got nothing but time, baby.
Well, comics are good at time suckage. I think Jerry Seinfeld said that, though. We can waste, like, people will tell me how much they've done in a day, like they'll name, like, 20 things, and I'll be like, well, I went to the bank, and that was a real big accomplishment for me.
Listen, we can get to one subject, and I can fill the entire hour. It won't be good. I can do the time. It's not going to be good, but I can do it.
Right.
We can talk about the weather for 45 minutes if you
want.
Oh,
yeah. Like 2 years, like after you've been 2 years in comedy, you know how to stretch. Like I thought I was going to have to do 30 minutes. I had some weird premises ready. I was going to do, in case no one got me off the stage, I was ready to do 30 minutes at this show.
Absolutely.
I mean, it wouldn't have been a good 30 minutes.
No, it rarely is for anybody.
Well,
to
yeah,
be honest.
For anybody. I mean, it would have been me hitting some people with some premises, really writing from stage at a paid show, which is not recommended for anybody,
I don't think. No. Never come up on the fly when you're getting money, which is what I do all the time.
Well, no, I do feel a distinct respect. Even if someone pays $5 for a comedy show, it's like, man, you got to give them, like, don't go and fuck around. You got to give them your best.
You got to give them something.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm a pro.
Eyes on the audience, off the paper, you know? Eye contact in the shadows. Making a lot of eye contact. I don't know what. That's why I kept looking at the levels because I didn't want to make eye contact.
Well,
it was like, this is a shiny thing over here.
We're having a conversation.
We are.
I mean, sometimes I don't see you a lot at the open mics.
No.
And I don't know how you've attained the title of you're still reigning 2019
still.
Funniest person in Buffalo. Is it funny comic? Funniest comic in Buffalo? What's the official title?
It's 2019 Helium Comedy Club Buffalo's Funniest.
So
there's no designation afterwards. All that means is that for one night, one show, I climbed to the mediocre top. And since then, I've gelled back to the bottom, incredibly average. But one night, I got that for another, like, 8 months. Summertime, I got to give it away, and then I never have to do the contest again. It's the greatest feeling in the world. There's nothing comics love more than being judged arbitrarily.
That's why I got into comedy.
Absolutely.
So, but how has this changed your life?
I got a plaque on my wall.
Did you put it on your wall?
It's on my mantle.
It's
on my mantle.
Like leaning?
It's leaning. Right. I don't want to make a hole in the wall. I got a security deposit to worry about.
Good for you for having a mantle in the first place, though.
Well, you know, it's the home that I wound up in. Mm. Is the fireplace still active? No, it's boarded over. But there was a better time in that household that needed a mantle, and now my life's work is on top of it.
Are you saying mantle's still a little sad that just your little plaque is on there and not trophies from children and things of that nature?
Life achievements, you know, maybe a man of the year at the office, you know, like salesman of the century award would be more meaningful. Maybe the fireplace would still be active if I was making more money. But, you know, it's sufficient for the mantle.
But it hasn't changed your life in the sense, obviously, you're still in Buffalo.
I'm still in Buffalo.
You haven't gone on the road. I mean, you got some more bookings, though, right?
I did. I have gotten some more bookings. It got me an in with a company performing live game shows at colleges. It's gotten me, I've gotten my first feature weekend at Helium Comedy Club as I am the face of the franchise for the next 8 months.
This weekend, actually.
This weekend, right now, going there after this.
December, what is it, 14th?
December 14th.
Well, this will come out, I won't produce it until, because it goes through a rigorous editing process. And I modulate my voice, I deepen my voice a little, and I'll raise yours just to make me seem more manly in comparison.
I understand.
But I mean, it'll come out Monday, so the whole weekend will be over. But you can comment on how it. But that's great. Like, a first feature is a big deal. Like,
It's an accomplishment that, much like the title, it is an accomplishment that really only means something to me. Everybody else is like, great, what's next? And I'm like, this is enough. It's not enough. It's never enough. You know that.
Well, no, it's not, but in the sense it doesn't change. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, that is great. And it is great. It's great for you. But in the sense, it's still back tomorrow. You'll be back working at your day job because it's one weekend.
This could be the only one ever.
It could be. I mean, that's why you got to take advantage of your opportunity.
Yeah,
because you're opening. Who is it for?
It is for Chris Porter.
Ah, he was on
Comic Standing, I believe. Also one of the early Netflix specials before they were just handing them out willy-nilly. He just had an Amazon Prime special. He's had some great crowds. It's always nice when people come out to see the actual person so they know what comedy is and they're there for the whole show, even paying attention to the host and the feature, you know. It's nice. It's nice when people know what comedy is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that is the great thing about being at a paid, like, at a club, though, is compared to, like, when you're paying your dues at the open mic, people are there, I think, actually to stop you from doing comedy.
It feels like it sometimes.
So you have to fight them, so and then it's like, why am I doing this? And then finally, when you get in front of a crowd that's like, well, I paid $20 on top of all the $2 drink minimum, I want you to be funny. So they're rooting for you. They will laugh.
They will laugh. I dug a bit of a hole for myself on one of the shows last night, midway through my set. I went the wrong direction. I read the room wrong, and I made a promise to them that if they let me finish this joke, we would go back to the fun silliness that they liked before. And they came back with me. They sat in silence for the end of the bit that I was doing, but we made an agreement. I went back to the silly fun, and they went back to having a good time.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, that's an accomplishment.
Again, that means nothing to anybody except for me. Everybody who was in that crowd will go, yeah, he wasn't bad. He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad, and that's good enough.
Well, I feel like it's also your sets is kind of like a book. Like, you just really need to, or like when you're, you know, reading for college, just read the first sentence and the last sentence. But that's all people really remember.
That's all you need to know, really.
So, like, if you open up okay and then you finish good, that's like, they'll be like, that guy was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody remembers midway through if you laughed uproariously and then at the end there were crickets chirping. Nobody remembered. They remember the crickets.
Right. Or, yeah, if you finished, I mean, I've seen some weird things from features at Helium once where a woman, I can't remember her name, I think she's from New York City. She's opening up, I can't even remember who she was opening up for, but she was doing badly, like very badly, like badly for 7-8 minutes, which is rough.
Oh, yeah. That's an eternity.
And then, but she finally rallied. She was rallying the crowd, but the thing is, her time was up. But I think she was so, she blew the light. She was so good about... and the person who was hosting the show, this was a Helium early days. I was in the back with another comic, and we're like, the light was blinking, but you know, obviously they're not going to cut the mic or anything.
Yeah.
So finally, the feature had to come to the headliner. Dove Davidoff.
Yeah.
Who is kind of like, you know, like it seems like one of those comics you wouldn't want to mess with.
No, he's got that aura about him, especially with TV and films that he's been in. He's always kind of a gruff, tough guy.
Well, I feel like he grew up probably knows how to throw a punch. Like a lot of comics don't know. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
We've taken
a lot of punches.
Yeah, like there's nothing like if you did like I made you wait 20 minutes while I found a flash drive, and if you did steal my board, that would be the end of it. What the fuck would I do? I would be like, I would say, Chris, do you have my board? And you could say no, and I'd be like, okay, and that would be the end of it.
I'd say, yeah, that was a really nice board. I wanted to hold on to it for a little bit.
Yeah, and that would be the end. But he, if he came up to me and be like, give me your drink, I'd be like, oh, okay, here you go. Anyway, so he had to come to the back and whistle at her and be like, woo, wrap it up. And it was kind of like awkward, but she finally, and like, I think she felt bad about it because, but she did really blow her time.
Oh, yeah.
Only to redeem her set. So, like, But then he smoothly transitioned, so that's a comedy show.
He's a pro, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, you just like they probably. I don't know what the crowd remembered that day because I don't.
But yeah, that's a little bit of the selfishness of the game we play. It's a lot, you know, like football when you know they say, "Oh, they didn't lose; they just ran out of time." You know, that's what we tell ourselves sometimes. Like, if I would have had another 40-45 minutes, I really could have got him back on the team. You know.
Yeah, I think that's actually a quote from the Raiders after that. For people that remember the 70s, it's called the Immaculate Reception, where the Chris Swan may or may not have made a catch.
It's debatable. It's hard to tell its standard definition.
It was a hard-fought game when the Pittsburgh Steelers made it to the Super Bowl, and the Raiders were like, man, we just wanted another beer, and we would have went back out and played because they were pissed.
Yeah. Just one more.
But that's also indicative of, like, any comic can have a hot – it's like getting hot, like a hot goalie. Like, someone could – like, you're in a contest. That's why I hate contests, though, because
– one night.
Some comic could come in and just have the set of his life.
Yeah, one night I have a decorated mantle.
There you go. Well, you're okay, though.
We've gone
you're
full – it's fine. Everything's fine.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it is – it's the long term. Like, really, you know, you don't have a career, like, until, like, 20 years in.
Oh,
then
yeah.
It's like, who's around you?
And – what is the level of a career? You know, like, where do you want success to end? Like, the obvious reason that anybody is doing this is so that the most people possible can see you and hear what you have to say and think you're great. You know, TV show, $1 million in the bank, that's the dream, you know, but is maybe success is, you know, plowing around at VFWs, making a few $100 a night, making some strangers laugh. They don't remember you afterwards, but they remember they had a great time and you're still out there creating and having a good time. That could be success.
That could be success. Well, success is self-defined. So that's but that's a great thing about working as a comic. You're like an entrepreneur. You work for yourself.
Yeah.
Like Judd Apatow says, though, if you know how to write a joke, you're not going to be out of work. But just, no. So you just have to know how to write a joke.
I'm still working on it.
Well, it's a long.
It's a process.
But there you go. Well, when was your first hosting gig? Do you remember that?
It was 4 years ago, almost exactly. It was for Sean Patton. It was the end of December 2015. No, 5 years ago. It was 2014. End of 2014. So 5 years ago was my first host gig with Sean Patton. Very funny man. The kindest man I've ever met in comedy. Met him again years later at a club in New York where we were watching the primary election results. He was crying because Bernie Sanders lost New York State, and I was crying because I wanted to move home and quit comedy.
Still good reasons. Both
legitimate reasons to cry. We both gave each other word of encouragement, and he's doing great. I'm trudging along.
Well, it's a slow burn.
Absolutely.
I mean, unless you really you have a great stage presence or something or whatever, then that really carries you through. But even that, you still have to put.
There's
got to
be something behind it.
Yeah,
it can't all be sizzle.
Right. Well, that's you have to know how to write a joke.
Absolutely.
That's key.
That's what we're doing.
And now you're featuring, and I think 5 years from now, you could be headlining.
You know, I could be. I could still be featuring. I could have quit comedy. Today, in 5 years, I will quit comedy. Big announcement.
Oh, that's right.
We've been
guys,
teasing an announcement. That's announcement number one.
5 years from now, if it doesn't go his way,
you will see me on state-run media television making all the comrades laugh, or I will be in a work camp toiling away.
It work in North Korea or South Korea?
You know, you never know where it's going to go. I like to play both ways, you know?
You got to keep your options open. But, yeah, well, here's the thing. You did try the move to New York City. So
I took
a
dabble.
And I'm fascinated by because there's a lot of people. Well, not a lot of people. There's several people from Buffalo who've moved to New York City. Some have moved back.
Absolutely.
And Rochester, our sister city, and tried comedy. Mm-hmm. And, RJ Perpera. Mm-hmm. Is that his? It's close
enough. RJ Purapura.
Yeah, he's a big listener. He does. He loves when I mess up.
Pod fan.
Name. Well, no, the thing he said to me that made kind of sense, I guess, is the thing for him is obviously there's so many. You know, there's more mics. I guess you can hammer out a thing. But he was getting booked a lot, like in Rochester. Mm-hmm. And so you moved to New York City, and then all of a sudden you're the small fish again, and not getting booked. So
absolutely.
That's like, weird, right?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't really have that problem when I did it.
You weren't getting booked.
Well, here. I was still like 2 years in of regularly doing it. Should I have moved? No, it was more of a overall life thing where it was just like, my life is in a rut. I went and visited some people out there. I had never really left town for an extended period of time. And it was like, let's just shake up life a little bit. And my girlfriend was very kind and let me go do this thing. And then we hit a point where it was, I can either come back or stay out there, but she wasn't going to move out there. And, you know, so I came back for that. But it was definitely a great learning experience. Stage time is definitely, it's, you can go hammer out mics, which are waiting sometimes an hour and a half to do 2 minutes in front of nobody because everybody went to the next mic. You know, you toil away at those, you get seen, maybe you show up at a bar show and somebody doesn't show, and then you get to go up and hold two people in the audience hostage until the rest of the room gets at, and you know, it's a whole, it's the same but different, if that makes sense, comedy wise.
Well, it does. I mean, I'm just fascinated with New York because I still feel like that's what you, if I don't know, to make it, to help your, I guess you don't have to now with YouTube and stuff, but I think if you really, like, you should just go to New York City for a little while.
I mean, even just at, like,
just
I'm happy that I'm not, like, upset that I moved home. Like, I was happy I did it. It definitely.
We all knew you were coming
back. It definitely.
Back.
Oh, absolutely. I knew I was coming back. There was no, there was no, like, defeated attitude when I came back, though. It definitely helped open my eyes to what I could do. Like, the most important thing I learned out there is just tightening things up. Like, what, like I said, like, sometimes your spot is only 2 minutes at a mic, minute and a half if there's that many people that showed up to it, and you gotta rifle through and find some, shake that dirt until you find something.
Do you think it did make you a better comic?
I think it helped me be more focused. I definitely, like, people had told me they noticed a change when I came home, you know, of, like, my style, my writing, that it was better than it was when I left. Sorry, I'm cramping up.
So you do recommend, like, moving here for, like, people. But, like, there is no right time,
I mean,
right? You think if you just want to move, you should just
move. I don't even think the recommend, really. Like, if you just want to shake things up, do it. Like, there's no, some people will be like, well, you have to be doing it this long, or you have to be doing the road already, or, you know, I mean, there's people who are born in New York City and grow up in New York City, and they never know anything else, and they start doing it. So why can't somebody that wasn't born there do the same thing?
Right. Well, I think that's the thing. There's no rules like, oh, you should be doing it 5 years. I mean, it's whatever's good for you.
Absolutely.
And then you do it. And then either you come home defeated, or, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you come home, or you learn something, you don't, you move on, or you make connections, or you just realize this is a real.
There's some people that go out there and they decide that they don't want to keep doing it, or they don't want to pursue it the way they were pursuing it before, and, you know.
Or, yeah, all, it realizes that you, it helps you realize your dream's stupid.
Well, I mean, aren't they all?
Dreams? Well, so your basic dreams, yes. Well, no, I think, who's the other guy? Nate from Rochester. He moved out there, and I think he said he's barely doing it anymore, so I don't know what that means.
I don't know. I haven't talked to Nate in a while. Hi, Nate, if you're a pod fan.
Oh, everyone from Rochester listens to this podcast.
Hi, Rochester.
It's got a deep, deep reach inside the comedy community there.
Deep Central Western Newark ties.
Well, especially when they heard the 2019 Funniest Buffalo Man is going to make a huge, huge announcement.
Huge announcement.
And it's obviously that was just a joke. That your huge announcement's still coming.
It's not that I'm quitting comedy. Huge announcement. I just bought a house. Huge. Big financial steps. Comedy's paying off. Going to have a new mantle to hang that placard on.
That one feature spot really, really boosted you. You went from, what is it, Helium? $35?
New tax bracket.
Yeah.
New tax bracket.
You got to fill out a whole new form.
Whole new form.
W-674, I think.
People Uncle Sam wants their taste. I'm going to launder the money. They'll never get a dime.
Well, no, here's the key. I think what you're doing, though, you also have a long-term supportive girlfriend.
I do.
And you don't even make that many jokes about her in your
Oh, that's changing. That's changing, oh, yeah, buddy. We got to stretch. We got to fill that time, all right? Yeah, no, she is very supportive and very great. And sometimes when I'm like, I'm not doing comedy enough, I wish I didn't have to work as much. She will just say, well, just don't work as much. We'll figure it out. Do comedy more.
Oh, and that's
so,
great.
So, you know, that's great, yeah. You know, like I moved and she was supportive of that. You know, and when I came home, you know, she didn't, you know, hold it over my head that I disappeared for a year, you know. So she's very good.
She never throws it in your face?
No.
No, I understand, because I, you know, I take my girlfriend sometimes just when she wants to spend time with me. I, like, when I go to Rochester, like, recently I just went to Rochester and then to Batavia because there's, like, two mics. Mm. And at this Batavia mic at a bar, obviously, I had to sit there. Actually, I went, he put me on very, very last. So we had to sit there for an hour and a half. And
oh,
she had
yeah.
to listen to an hour and a half of dick joke. And then the worst thing is I waited so long, I had to – I just sucked. I sucked at the end of the night. So my set was awful, and she had to watch that too. And then just the drive home is just like
I
didn't want to talk about it.
Did she ever quiz you? My girlfriend is very supportive but also will be like, so what do you think you did wrong tonight? She's incredibly mean.
She kind of does it. Well, no, that's good. Well, that, but she kind of does it in a positive way. She's like,
she
well,
does.
When you said this, that was funny. As yeah. in meaning, like, everything else yeah. was kind of like, she's like, oh, well, they really like that one joke.
Absolutely.
And then I was like, well, that's true. Thank you. That, I will
meant,
build upon that.
It's meant to be constructive criticism. Sometimes
right.
it hurts more than other times.
Well, I'm like Pete Holmes because I'm always thinking, you know, who is the best? I feel, we talked about this earlier, like, comics are kind of like, it's a selfish profession.
Absolutely.
Because we have to think, we're always kind of like observing sometimes and writing jokes and thinking of jokes. And it's hard to even talk to us because you're going to get a joke answer.
Yeah.
Not even like the first time. Like if you're trying to have an argument or a serious conversation, you're going to get it 3-4 times
yeah.
before you really get to,
oh,
the,
absolutely.
To the
we're
meat of the
deflect,
conversation, right?
Deflect those real feelings as long as possible until
right.
we run out of bits.
Yeah, or until they just get so frustrated they don't want to talk about it anymore. You know, it's like outtakes from like Jim Carrey probably like in The Mask. It's just going just nonsense
yeah.
until you wear yourself out.
Yeah.
But no, so Pete, like I have this, like, should you date, because, you know, being a comic, like, should you date a female comic? Because they do understand what you're going through, like, stage time. But then female comics, I feel, are crazier than male comics. So I wouldn't want to date.
I don't co-sign that statement. I'm a big supporter of female comedy.
Did I say I don't support it?
You're calling them
crazy.
They're crazy. I don't know, man. Have you seen some of these dudes?
Have you seen
they're pretty
some
crazy.
Of these girls? All right, I mean, I take your stance. That's fine. I just feel like I don't think it's a good mix, though, in general.
Oh,
like,
no,
there's
yeah, I get what you're saying.
There's some successful, like, it's probably individual, but for me, I could definitely not date a female, even though they'd probably be a little more understanding. I feel like it's
they could be more understanding. It depends on how ultra-competitive you are. Could you imagine?
But, yeah, I am.
Could you imagine when it's like, oh, we're going to go out next week, and she's like, actually, I picked up the show, and you're like, how did you get in with that booker? Why are you... Why are you on? I wrote that tag for you. I suggested it late one night.
Right, we were talking about
it. We were talking.
Like
that's
that.
My bit now. Like, that should be a part of my bit. You should at least bring me along for a guest spot. I could see that happening in certain relationships. Otherwise,
right.
you know, it probably depends on how much you throw yourself into your relationship and how much you throw yourself into your comedy.
Mm.
Finding that balance. And that's going to vary from person to person, too.
Yeah, but I guess if someone did ask me, would you recommend as a comic, for a comic, to get in a relationship with another comic, and my short answer would definitely be no.
It wouldn't be for me,
right.
because I would probably be that whole scenario that I dreamed up is something that
I think you had it right on the tip of your tongue, man.
And she does not do comedy. She does not want to attempt to do comedy. But if she did, I'd be like, she's definitely going to get booked more than me. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
I would sabotage. I'd be like, oh, no, you know what? They really, really, really like race jokes. You should really, you know what? Shock the crowd. Say the N-word. I would be an incredibly bad boyfriend to a comic.
Yeah. Well, I am, you know, competition is the death of art. You know, you can't, like, especially in comedy. I mean, you can't compete, like, oh, who's the better comic? But I am a competitive person by nature.
Yeah.
And I try to find other outlets to do that. But yeah, if my girlfriend was doing comedy too, I wouldn't like, and then especially if she went up at the same show and got bigger laughs, I would be very
upset. We're driving separate to every show.
Because it is hard to like, because you can, it's easier for me to do, like when that does happen at a show, I can justify a lot of stuff. Well, he did it because he's got a better persona. He found his voice.
Yeah.
The crowd changed at that moment.
Yeah.
That joke is from a meme. You know, it's just like, I can rationalize anything. But then it's like, when you're a girlfriend, you gotta be, it's like, I can't deal with this.
No, that's, yeah, that would be, that. Now you're stomping around the house afterwards. You're taking a shower, even though you took one before you went to the show, just so you don't have to be next to her, you know?
Yeah, it's just...
That would be a more lonely life than just going after it and trying to find, you know, a normal person who doesn't mind not seeing you several nights a week.
That's why, I would say... I mean, if people just asked me, I would say, no, don't. Find someone that's a understanding civilian, as they say, outside the comedy world.
Just find somebody you like. That's all.
That's funny, but you know? Has no desire to...
have somebody that likes a good time.
Yeah.
You know? But doesn't need approval to have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, plus it's proximity. It's like, you know, it's like we're not in high school, like, because, you know, you fuck who you're next in high school because you don't have a car, or you're just getting a car and shit. So it's like, I'll date this person because we're in biology all the time. But it's like, you know, you're an adult, fucking you have the ability to go to different places.
We met at the mall, but she goes to school two districts over, and it's just not gonna, our family only has one car. It's just never gonna work.
I mean, I work here at the Buffalo News, and it seems like, and we're recording here in what I call my studio, but it's the abandoned cafeteria of the fifth floor of the Buffalo News.
Somebody got nice water earlier.
But, I mean, there's a lot of married couples, and I see that because you're working together, but it's like, guys, what are you, fucking rabbits? There's so many people that got married here at the News, and it's, like, unnecessary. And it's like, you're going to see everybody that you're married to.
Media feels like one of those things. Like, you're saying that at the News, but you hear that with, like, the local TV anchors or even, like, national news anchors. There's, like, a couple that works for CBS or MSNBC, and it's just like, you want that with you all day? Like, just, do we have to debate the news topics at dinner? We just talked about them all day.
Yeah, and you're talking about the new, and you're doing the same news. It seems like a little repetitive.
Yeah,
but then there's like James Colville or who's that, like Democratic
Carville,
and he's married to like a Republican. To me, that doesn't seem like it'll work because, or like even that trickier, who's Kelly Conway, and her husband is like, she works for Trump, and he says the worst things about, like, how does that work at night?
I think that's part of the game.
I think
I think they got a little. I don't even think it's a sham. I just think they got a little bit of that, like, spit on me, kind of. You know, like.
Well, she does seem like a dirty woman.
You know, just a little. You know.
Like, that's what really gets her off.
Yeah. Well, both of them. Like, oh, you were really up in the wall talk on the TV today. You know, a little extra slap on the cheeks. You know, when you're coming to bed.
Like, you were really hard on Trump today. That thing where you called him a fucking dickhead kind of turned me on.
Yeah, you're going to be hard on me now? Like, yeah, you know?
I don't know. I mean,
people are weird. That's
no, I realize that. Thing. We all have our idiosyncrasies. But absolutely. I guess you want to, to me, I want to find someone that I have stuff in common with, but not too much in common with.
Yeah, you got to have some downtime. It's important.
Yeah, like separate things. Like, I'll go do comedy, and you go do whatever you do, and then we'll meet up later, and you can ask, and I won't.
How is comedy? How is knitting?
Yeah.
You know.
And we can trade stories of who had the worst time.
How is it at the office today? Well, you were two cubicles over, so you heard every phone conversation I had. That's not what you want to do at night. You know.
Yeah, you seen me come in 5 minutes late.
Where were you those 5 minutes, Jason? Talking to the girl at the security desk?
Yeah. Yeah, I like to... you got to have a little... I don't mind a little mystery in a relationship. And a little separate... Just a little separation, right?
Yeah, just a little... You know, essence makes the heart grow
fonder,
right?
Do you want to say your name? I don't know how private.
Her name's Irene.
Shout out to Irene. Well, I don't know if you want to...
64-year-old Polish woman.
I'm sure she appreciates that.
Oh, she loves it. She knows.
No, because she comes around sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while, she'll pop around.
And that's good. And
she's a supporter and a fan of comedy.
Yeah.
You know, but she doesn't want to sit at an open mic.
Who's your favorite comic on the scene, though?
Oh.
Does she have one that besides you, of course?
Oh, I'm probably not even top five. It's probably Rick Matthews. Rick Matthews is every woman in this city's favorite Buffalo comic.
Well, he's got that cuddly...
He's got that charm about him.
Yeah, that...
He's safe and secure and funny. And funny. I'm not discounting, obviously,
course. Yes,
you know, but...
But, well, let's be honest. There are other factors when you step on stage. It is how you look.
Absolutely. And how you look compared to how you portray yourself on stage is probably the most important thing. Like, nobody wants to see a hot guy who is the hero of every joke he tells. Like, if you're a good-looking person, you have to play the buffoon every now and again. Otherwise, people will hate you. Because you know who people hate? When they go to the gym and there's a guy running on the treadmill with abs and no shirt on. Get out of the gym. This is sweat hog day. Get out.
Well, right. Well, because people love success. They hate the successful. Like, they love Tom Brady's success. But, but how many people hate Tom Brady outside of everyone? Because they're like, fuck this guy.
When he didn't start all of college and came off the bench when Drew Bledsoe got hurt and led them to a Super Bowl win with very mediocre stats and got named the MVP, people were like, wow, what a great story. And then, you know, 19 years later, 5 cheating scandals, a supermodel wife, 352 championships. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
They want to see him get hurt. They want to see him lose, you know?
Yeah, they want to, like, take him down a peg, but exactly. I don't get that. But it's just like, but yet they have begrudging respect for him.
I hate him because he's tormented my sports fandom for 20 years, but I understand that he is very good.
Right.
He's probably the best that has ever played that position, and it happened during all of my life. Good for him, but also give somebody else a chance. Let's let Josh Allen climb up off the farm and become the darling of the world for 6 weeks, and then everybody will hate him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, soon, except for Buffalo, until he has one bad game. But we turn fickle. We're fickle fans. But, yeah, like, I think his time's coming to a close, so it's okay.
Yes.
But,
he's,
I mean...
He's 42. I hope it's coming to an end. If it's not, that's scary.
Well, I don't know. You never know what kind of... When you're that rich, those drugs that can't be detected.
Oh, absolutely.
What's the new, like, the drug past the human growth hormone? Probably something that they're extracting from
They go over to Europe and they do that weird blood transfusion thing where they put it in the centrifuge and put it back into your body. Peyton Manning did that after he hurt his neck. He got another 3 years out of it.
Oh, yeah. They take all the... Yeah. It's like super blood.
Yeah.
It's what Keith Richards does, like, every 6 weeks, right?
Has to.
Speaking of... So you instead of leaning into it and just, like, gaining a lot of weight where you could have been, like, a junior Rick Matthews type comic... You decided to lose weight. Why? Why did you do that? Now you're like a normal person.
I know. I'm an average schlubby man now instead of an extremely schlubby man.
You're an average Buffalonian.
Yeah. I think I'm slightly above average Buffalonian.
All right.
For my age bracket average, you know, if we're bringing in the 65-year-old retired South Buffalo cops, I'm way below the curve.
Oh, for sure.
But,
and then just probably, and for even for a comic, you're in decent shape. Decent comic shape.
The clothes do all the work. Underneath is a hideous mess, but...
Well, right.
This is a serious answer. This is the real answer of why I did it. I'm a humorous movie podcast. We're going to talk about the sad reason why I decided to lose weight. I am 35 years old, been overweight most of my life. I hit a point where my father died very young, and I turned 35, and it was like, you're almost 40, and once you hit 40, you're never going to recover from where you are when you're 40. Like, that's going to be you till you die. And if you don't want to go early too, you should do something about it. So I started doing something about it. Very serious answer. I'm sorry.
I know you really dragged out my podcast. No, that's good. I do want. I mean, that's the answer because I mean, jokingly, I have thought I was like, man, should I gain? Like, I wasn't sure. Like, just to make this work, should I become a fat comic?
Just,
but then, like, how
just to balance it out?
Yeah, it's like how self-deprecating can I be? Because I'm just like right now. Yeah, I'm just average. So I'm just like not fat, but I'm not, you know, like. you know, I'm not buff, so it's, like, it's just like there's just this white. I'm just another white guy on stage. Yeah. So I was like, what should I do?
Yeah.
Should I gain weight?
People used to tell me basically every fat blonde actor would be like, oh, you look like this guy, and now every like chubby blonde actor, they're like, oh, you look like this guy. It's like, yep, just I'm just cogging the wheel, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's obviously you're thinking of your long-term health.
Yes, that so is that was the reason for that. I did do it in an extreme fashion, which I don't recommend. I since changed it up, but I like didn't eat for a few months. Just had like a salad a day. Real Christian Bale in The Machinist diet. Got that movie in.
Good job.
Thank you. Very professional. Yeah, but no, just it is just a lifestyle change to try and prolong whatever I got.
Your life.
Yeah.
Right, because at the end of the day, yeah, you do enjoy your life. Or you want to be alive.
I guess. I mean, when you put it straightforward like that, it's like, maybe I should pack the weight on. Had fun on the ride out.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good way to go, though. No. Like, as a comic, we all do fantasize about our suicide, right? Like,
I mean, I wouldn't say. I just want time to stop. I just don't want to have to do things anymore.
What do you mean?
Life is so busy. I don't necessarily want to die. I just don't want to have to live the day-to-day anymore.
Well, the day-to-day minutia is the thing that really, like, I hate, you know, making my, like, the repetitive, like, I can listen to a song. I can watch I just watch The Office on loop. Yeah. Like, I don't have any kids, but I could, like, you know, they talk about kids just want to watch the same shit. I could do that. I watch The Office. That's all I do is watch on a loop.
Yeah.
Or I can listen to, like,
familiar background noise.
Yeah, or, like, I can listen to once I find, like, a good album, I listen to that shit, like, anytime I'm driving, like, for a straight month.
Yeah.
Like, repetition. But I hate doing laundry, making my bed, ironing, like, all that kind of shit is, like, I don't want to
do this. That's
maintenance. Like, that's boring. Yeah.
There's no joy in that.
Or even shaving, like, what is this? I don't want to do this every day.
I do that like once every 2 weeks, so I can't relate on that.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't shave like every day, so it's just like this kind of stuff. But I think that's more of a comic thing. It's like I can't handle the day to day stuff. That's why I can lose a day, and like going to the bank is my big day. You know what I mean? Like on my day off, like that's all I get accomplished.
I feel like that's everybody though. Like, think of how angry you get when you miss the light that you normally make on your drive to work in the morning. It's like, why couldn't this asshole in front of me just go through the yellow light so we could both be on our normal schedule?
Right. Well, I do hate lights, and I feel like these lights are some lights are very close together, and it's just
fickle,
like,
lights in this city.
Can't we? Well, I'm waiting for when we get a better handle on transportation or whatever, or maybe when we get to self-driving cars that don't run people over.
Well, they're almost there.
At least we're people that don't deserve to be run over, I guess.
It depends on if Elon Musk decides he just wants to escape planet Earth, because he's also working. He's working on saving everybody and also getting as far away from everybody as he can at the same time. And it's a little disturbing.
Do you think he's an alien?
I don't think does he know if there are aliens? Probably.
Do you think you think so?
I don't think he is an alien. I am fascinated by him. Because he has made $2 billion corporations and wants to leave Earth. And wants to, like, build a colony ship to get off of Earth. Like the thing at the end of the Christopher Nolan movie with Matthew McConaughey, Interstellar, when they have it's got the grass and they're farming in it and they're moving to the new Earth. He wants to build one of those. Which makes me fear that we're at the end times.
Oh, you think he knows something?
He knows something that we don't. Yeah,
the Earth is ready to crumble like kryptonite.
Pretty much,
or Krypton.
Yes.
Yeah,
we've sucked it dry.
Oh, for sure. Well, I mean, I think he is a. Although he doesn't, like a lot of smart people, I think he starts projects and then he doesn't quite follow through. But I think that's the other people around him that just can't keep up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's like, I'm going to build this truck, and then the thing's bulletproof, and then someone throws a pebble at the glass, and then it just shatters. And then someone else was probably supposed to take care of that, you know what I mean? Like, and he's like, guy, I didn't build the fucking window.
Well, they're like, this is the prototype that we're bringing to show off, so let's put the shiny windows in so it looks good when the cameras are flashing on it. And then he throws a rock at it, and somebody's like, you weren't, not that one. Not, yeah. Not, the memo didn't go through. He didn't get the text.
Or he builds a rocket to go, his Rocket X, and then it explodes, and then people are like, oh, it explodes. But it's like, hey, guy, what the fuck have you done today? You didn't build a rocket to go anywhere.
The 50s and 60s are filled with rockets exploding because they didn't make rockets to go into space. Like, they had to start somewhere, and he's had successful rockets since. They're even landing inside his boat net now.
Yeah, I mean, he's
which I'm assuming he's built so that when there's no land left after the oceans flood, that he can land on Earth whenever he needs to get whatever sweet Earth minerals are left.
Oh, to
for his space colony.
His new home.
Yeah.
I guess I shouldn't talk trash in case he is building a spreadsheet of people he wants to take with him.
You need entertainment in the post-apocalypse. Somebody's got to make people forget about their lives, Jason.
Well, that's sure. Like, hey, what about this no atmosphere on Mars? I'm going to start working on my atmosphere jokes.
Yeah, just make references to Total Recall. I'm working in the movie references. We're staying on topic.
You are. But more on your backstory. So didn't you spend also, though, a great deal of your, not a great deal, but some of your youth as a drug addict?
I did, yes.
And why'd you do that? Because you were addicted to drugs?
Yeah.
Because they were great?
I wouldn't even necessarily say great. Just escaping.
You were bored?
Just not so much boredom as escapism, you know? Things happen in life, and you make choices, and that sometimes those choices lead to bad choices, and then the bad choices pile up, and next thing you know, you're doing things you said you'd never do, and one day you go, I should stop doing this, and then you do stop doing it, but you just replace it with something else bad, but it's less bad, and then you keep swapping things around, and I don't know.
So what do you do as a coping device now, though?
Don't think about it.
Isn't that just denial?
Fill it with things like comedy, incredibly self-indulgent projects that have no mainstream appeal, but I enjoy them.
Vanity projects are my new thing. I want to be the Shia LaBeouf of Buffalo.
There is nothing better than putting something. So I make a lot of stupid videos. And there is nothing that I enjoy more, one, than making them, two, than somebody going, why would you do that? If somebody legitimately likes them and wants to talk about them, I get anxious and I don't want to do it. I like to pretend that it's not even real. Like, sometimes I won't even acknowledge it. But when somebody just goes, why? It's like, I don't know, just 'cause. So I'm filling it with vanity now.
I think that's what worked for Shia and a lot of other creative people.
That's a lot of the process. Like, even with it's like we were saying, it's a self-indulgent, selfish thing.
Well, being a comic is obviously very, like, right up there with bodybuilding. I mean, at least we don't have to get up at 3 a.m. to eat a protein shake, set the alarm to wake up your girlfriend. I mean, we might roll over and try to write a joke that we just dreamt of, but we could probably do that silently as opposed to,
The dream crowd loved that one. I gotta write it down.
As opposed to some meathead getting up to, like, fucking turn the blender on to fucking make a shake at fucking 4 o'clock.
The Rock in his trailer gym eating 75 pancakes in the morning. Because he's got to keep up that physique.
it's not easy.
Not at all.
And so, did you want to? Can we talk more about drugs?
If you want to.
Oh, well, I
didn't know. I wasn't sure where you were gonna go with it. I got pretty bummered earlier, so I didn't want to 2005 was a bad year, Jason.
The secret is, besides your big announcement that's coming at the end of the show,
I'm back on drugs. I couldn't wait. Like a true addict, I couldn't wait.
I am trying to actually make you cry. because I've discovered, I don't know how to say this. Like, all my life, I really thought I was a laid-back guy, right? Like, type A and B, what's B? Laid-back?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just thought I was a laid-back guy, like, ha, ha, ha. But it turns out I didn't have a good picture of myself. I am actually a tightly wound guy.
You're a little high-strung.
Exactly. See, I didn't know that. I didn't fucking know.
This is how people are.
Well, no, I was just tightly... I thought I was laid back because I wasn't in touch. I was detached. I mean, you got to be detached to be a good comic. Like, slightly detached from society. Yeah. But I was... Like, here's detached. I'm over here, like, detached from detached. Yeah. Super detached, right? So I'm just not in touch with my emotions. So I'm like... I am tightly wound, but I just didn't know it because I was just so in touch with myself. So, like, mm-hmm. I just pictured myself as, like, oh, I'm this cool, aloof guy. And people are like, that guy's a fucking twat because he's so high strung. Like, what's his problem? And I don't know. It took me fucking this long in my whole life to realize, like, a couple, like, months ago. And I'm like, well, you know, now I'm taking edibles. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I was anti-drug, but I didn't know.
Yeah,
I couldn't
into
drive.
It. Some people yeah, weren't into it.
But, like, no, edibles now are, like, taking the edge off, and I feel like I am slightly less high, like, a better person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was trying to be the lone one. Like, I didn't even invite people to my shows. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't need their support. But, you know, like, this last show I had, a couple of my friends came out, and, like, you know, at this
nice.
Open mic, I'm right. And, like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, some friends I haven't seen in a while, like, from high school came out. And I'm like, oh, this is nice to hang out. I can have fun and still tell jokes, and I don't have to be a total asshole.
Yeah.
You so don't I'm
have
just
to
wondering,
cut
but like,
out.
But yeah, but like drugs, are, it's not like a coping thing. I mean, like drugs are good, but it's like you used because you were avoiding. Like you
I was
did it.
Incredibly unhappy.
You were,
and I thought that there was something wrong with me on why I couldn't be happy.
Because you felt like I'm sorry, but you felt like every like you looked at other people and like, oh, these people are happy, even though they probably
weren't.
Right.
No, and some of them I found out later were equally, if not more so, unhappy.
Yeah, more fucked up.
But it's especially, you know, like I got into it when I was young, like end of high school, you know, late teens, early adulthood, and you don't know what you don't know. You know, like you kind of think that where you are is the center of the universe and the end of the world. Everything's so extreme when you're that age, you know? Like you're still all hormoned up and everything is the highest highs and the lowest lows, and you know, it was a way to not feel that. It was a way to in the start of it, you are happy, you're having a good time. And there are some people that's all dabbling it, like they can dabble in drugs. They can come in on a Friday night after they get paid, have fun for a day and a half, disappear, live a real life for 6 months, come back and do it again. And other people are just chasing something that was inside them all along.
So you think you have the addictive gene, or you just couldn't, you just let it get out of control though?
No, I would say I probably have the addictive gene. Both familial history shows that, and I get obsessive with things at times, and I have to work hard to not get that way as I'm doing an obsessive thing with my hand. Sorry. Like it's definitely in there, and I don't know what I'm trying to say. I definitely have the gene, as they say, the disease.
Right, but so now, because my point, like, drugs are good. It's like, it's a tool, like anything. It just has to be applied correctly. Like, a gun is a tool.
Yeah.
A gun will make an asshole, like, a bad person go away, but in the hands of the wrong person.
Well, then they're the asshole that needs to be gone away with a gun. Now we're
right.
A cycle. Yeah.
So, but, like, drugs, like, I feel like applied correctly, like a nice edible at, like, 6 in the evening, really makes the anxiety go away, as in, like, I don't care that things didn't go exactly, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't carry it over to the next day.
Tomorrow's where, another day.
Exactly, where I'm a huge twat to everyone because the one joke I thought was great didn't fucking, no one liked it.
Maybe, yeah.
So I mean, but you can't use drugs at all now.
I mean, I'm a bad example of this because I didn't do it the right way. I came out of everything, and I didn't drink for a while, and you know, blah blah blah. And then, well, I can have a beer with my friends, and I can do this, and I drank. I don't drink currently. I'm not drinking. I'm just not drinking.
Double negative. I don't know.
Well,
don't
the reason I
me.
Say that is because I'll be back again someday. Like someday I'll probably have a beer again. Someday I might have too many beers again. I don't want to put myself in that corner of being like, I'm never going to drink again, and then getting drunk sometime and then beating myself up for it. Like, it's life. If I did get drunk again and I did something foolish, okay, tomorrow's another day. Don't do that again. And occasionally I will dabble in the marijuana edibles, you know, take the edge off, as you say.
It really does.
But a lot of times, like, even now, like, I haven't drank for, like, a year. And there have been days where I'm like, man, when I get home, I'm going to crack open a beer. And then I get home and I'm like, you know what? I don't need that beer. I'll keep it in the fridge for next time. And that's kind of where I'm at with that.
Well, yeah, I think. I mean,
we got really bummered.
Well, no, these are issues I want to, like, I guess it relates to comedy, but just, like, dealing with, I guess you really do have to take it day to day. I mean, yeah, you got to plan far ahead because one day you will die, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was watching, well, depressed, my girlfriend was watching Catfish, the worst show, like, on that TV. You're familiar with Catfish.
Oh, right? I'm familiar
with
the show.
It's so fucking dumb. Yeah. I mean, this, but even the worst, what I take from it is, like, there's this 20, you know, it's always, like, a 20-year-old. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I've been in 3 relationships, and I've had such problems. And, you know, I'm not, like, a super old person, several years older than you. But, I mean, like, I feel like saying, guy, you're fucking 20. You've had 3 like, there's so much more.
I do remember being that
age and, like, think everything is the end of the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when is it going to happen?
It's the same mentality, though. Like, it's just, like, a different friend could have introduced him to, you know, I don't know, OxyContin instead of online dating, and he's still chasing that those good feelings, you know.
Right.
It's the same concept. Like, you can be addicted to anything, you know. Some people are addicted to relationships. If you're in 3 relationships by the time you're 20, you're doing pretty good. Like,
yeah, and
I had a half of one, I think, by the time I was 20.
Yeah, I had 0.
I thought I was dating a girl.
She didn't know.
We met twice, you know, but whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just, I did spend, I guess, like, a lot of my life, I would say, low-level malaise, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
because I guess I didn't know myself because I thought I was this laid-back, chill guy.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you do have to find your happiness. And then, you know, I got involved in comedy, and then I'm like, well, I'll be happy when I get to this level. But it's like, no, like, it's just day-to-day, man.
Still,
like,
chasing it.
Yeah. And you'll never be happy. And even when you get to that level, then it's going to be like, what? Then I'm going to have to deal with, like, you just got to be, you got to find your little corner of happiness each day.
Yeah. There's something. And then, something out there. Summertime?
Well, yeah, because I
summertime, you know what happiness is to me?
Ice cream?
Going to get a nice waffle cone. That's all it is.
I remember that. We played ball. We balled with our current redhead, Liam.
Yep.
And you wanted to, and no one was down because you were like,
nope.
Or that you couldn't find a place, right?
No, there wasn't a place near where we were. And then I was going home and I was kind of bummed out. Like, I had fun playing basketball with the boys. You know, that was fun. It was a good time.
It was.
It was like, well, you know, maybe we'll catch that cone some other day. And I got home and my girlfriend was there and she said, you want to go get ice cream? And I was like, absolutely. And it was a great day. That's all it needed to be.
Yeah, that one moment. I mean,
that's it.
Obviously, and then, you know, life does drag you down with the stupid. You got to do laundry and you got to whatever, mop the floor because your dog just vomited all over it.
All over it.
And though, yeah, those things come up like 5 minutes before you're supposed to leave the house. So,
yeah.
But you have to deal with it. But it's okay. Like, because everyone, I think back in the Stone Age, like, those people, like, I don't know, do you think they knew what happiness was? Like, they just,
I mean, I don't think it really mattered. There was such an emphasis on survival. I don't think happiness was even a concept. I think,
but they weren't felt depressed.
I think they felt it because they're putting their head down on a pile of soft rocks at night, and they got a full belly, maybe, and that's all it needed to be.
Right, like that day where they killed the boar. They were like, oh, this is great. I guess, or they had the adrenaline rush. They caught the boar. They ate it. And then they didn't die that day.
No.
And some other weird tribe didn't come over the hill and destroy them.
No caveman was ever upset that he had to clean up the fire pit from all the boar guts from the hunt that day. They were like, you know what? This might be the last hunt. That was a pretty good day. I'll pick all this up so some coyotes don't come and maul us in our sleep.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's happiness to a caveman.
Yeah, and everyone was great, and you didn't necessarily need consent. So that was great. I'm just thinking, I mean...
I don't condone that statement either. I'm a big supporter of consent. Big supporter.
Well, I'm just saying this... No, here's what I was thinking about this, because it's like the caveman was just like takes whatever he wants, right? Like whatever. Yeah. Sex probably wasn't consensual. But then the one caveman who was doing a lot of running took off his shirt, abs,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So all the female cave women were on this dude, and that's the age, that's where all the other cavemen were like, fuck.
You gotta step our game up.
Yeah, there goes clubbing women on the head because this guy ruined it.
Well, I mean.
Ab cave guy.
Probably. I don't think I can string that one along any further.
Okay. Well, we can move. It's one of those premises. We can move.
Quest for Fire, that was a good caveman movie.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying female artists started drawing caveman with abs, and then that
then it was over. Game over.
Then everybody started, well, we better start jogging.
New tribe rolled into that cave, and they were like, what the hell is this monster?
Well, I mean, that's like the Elon Musk of, like, how many innovators are there in the world? Like, two a generation?
Yeah.
Like, we were all in the sea, right? And then some asshole, like, decided to crawl out of the sea and then start to develop, probably to get away from the woman. One cell to me because she was talking too much, and then everybody's like, "Oh, this is great. We'll follow you." And then that's when we started to develop like multi cells, and then we get and then everything goes from. But it's always one person, and then everyone just follows.
One thing has to change, and then everything changes.
Yeah, or like someone said the name Karen as a funny white woman's name, and now it's just ubiquitous.
Oh man, every office has a Karen. When was the last time you met a real Karen?
Never. I don't.
2001 was the last Karen I ever met.
I don't have one in the office, that's for
that's
sure.
It.
But I mean, it's ridiculous. I
went to high school with her.
Did you? Oh, a Karen.
I went to high school with a Karen. That was the last Karen I ever met.
Do you think
in 2001.
Do you think she's asking to talk to the manager right now?
Absolutely not. She probably is the manager somewhere. She was a tough cookie, smart. Mm. She's probably running a whole division.
Oh, would you kiss it up just in case?
Just in case Karen's a pod listener. What up, Karen?
And you have something to offer. You have a corporate comedy show maybe you'd like to have some clean comedy?
I really enjoyed when we saw Bring It On 11th grade together.
Good movie. This is great warm-up. I wish I could release this now to direct people towards Helium, but I can't. But you're doing – how's the crowds? Like sell out?
No, not sell out.
Close.
They've been good crowds. The first – the Thursday show was a little on the lighter side. There was
Thursday's
a Sabres game.
Oh, yeah.
But out of the audience, like two-thirds of them were fans of Chris Porter. They were there to see him. So they were –
well, that's good.
Like that was
–
that's
good
that
he
could
sell 200 tickets in Buffalo or 250.
Yeah, so he, you know, I mean, it's been good. It's been good. Good crowds. Even when I took some selfish liberties on stage, they still let me have fun. And
hey,
they still had fun with me after.
That's your, you have the right to do that because you have a good crowd, so you can definitely mix in, you know, you open up with
see
something
where
old.
We can take it.
Yeah, and then throw in something in the middle.
Yeah.
That's what Gary Goldman recommends, and he's a great comic.
You get those from the Goldman tips?
Yeah, the Goldman tips. The
Goldman tips.
He's like you're and then how's and Chris is very supportive. How's Chris? Was it like good set? He'd give you a little pat on the ass and then attaboy?
Yeah.
Is he even first, tell?
My first set had a little bit of a weird dismount, and he responded with a, "Well, that was a weird way to end set, and that was great." So it was like, "Oh, I felt that too."
Right. Well, yeah. As a comic,
no,
he's
cool.
Oh, I mean, you definitely he's have cool. to give. Give back. I mean, especially comedy is one of those things where, I mean, I never give unsolicited advice because that's, you know, the main thing is,
consent's
I always
important.
Tell people is just get on stage. Well, yeah, just do.
That's the most important thing.
Well, because I talk to people, the most frustrating thing for me now is going to open mic. I don't want to talk to newbies because, first of all, they want to talk about a specific joke that they may or may not. It's just like, hey, man, you say it on stage. If it doesn't work, you rework it. If it doesn't work, rework it. If it doesn't work, get rid of it and cannibalize what you can if you find anything funny from that.
Yeah.
Or people tell me like, "Oh, I want to get on stage, but I might be too offensive." And it's like, no. Just get
Trust
on stage
me.
And it'll work itself out.
Yeah.
And eventually and then until you get sick of it or until like no one ever laughs at you.
There'll be a time where somebody's just like, "What are we doing?"
But I mean, you have to eat so well, yeah, but I mean,
even you got to eat shit.
For
everybody's got to
so
eat
long.
Shit.
Yeah, for a while. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
it can be different for other people. You know, some people eat shit a few times. Some people eat shit for a long time.
And different levels. You know, like Sam Kinison had many people walk out on him, and he adjusted. And then he was like Harmon Killebrew, because he had that one great year where he was the greatest comic in the world.
Yeah.
You know, like when Harmon Killebrew had like 180 RBIs in the 1960s, yeah. And then no one ever heard of it. Well, I mean, he's still a good baseball player. But no, he adjusted, and then obviously he did too much coke. So don't be like Sam Kinison.
No.
But he had some of the greatest, he's definitely one of the greatest comics ever. He just kind of went in the wrong direction.
Had a wild run at the end of the 80s.
And also, he might actually be a bit of an asshole because he fathered the child of his best friend.
Wow.
You know. Carl LeBeau. Sorry, buddy.
Who among us hasn't tried to help out a friend every now and again?
By fucking his wife.
Yeah, you know.
And thinking the daughter you had is actually the daughter of your best friend.
Yeah, he always wanted to be a dad, you know?
He should have known. His daughter was like, yelling, Vietnam!
Man, she's really got a bad case of colic. Nope, just...
Yeah, just that's actually, Carl LeBeau tried to kill himself over that.
Well...
Did you hear that? Do you know the story?
I don't know that story.
Do you know? Well, you know that Sam Kinison's like he found out like after the paternity test when Carl LeBeau, good friend, comic of Sam Kinison, found out the daughter like his daughter was already 18. I think they finally did a paternity test. He found out he wasn't the dad. He got so depressed he was in a hotel room. He went to fucking hang himself off the ceiling fan, which is probably not a good idea. But the ceiling fan gave, so he just crashed to the floor. And then insult to injury, the front desk person knocked on the desk and they said, can you keep it down? The people downstairs said, you're making too much noise. Which is the best way to end a suicide attempt.
Yeah.
Is people telling you to keep it down.
Let you know you still matter. You know what I mean?
And then he's like, what the fuck am I doing? It was, you know. And
I mean, swing and a miss, you know. There'll be another chance.
Well, he's okay now, I think. I think. But, you know, that's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
To, you know, he loved someone that you love like a brother, and then they, you know.
And then they fuck your wife.
Yeah, you found out your brother loved your wife.
Sired a child with your wife.
Anyway, that's comedy.
Yeah.
Keep comics away from Irene. Keep Rick Matthews away. I don't trust that guy. She might have a weak moment, my friend.
Who knows? Colin Quinn tried to take her.
What?
Take her away after a night, after a show. She thought it was me.
From behind or something?
She was talking to him, and I wasn't talking to him. I was, you know, standing off wherever talking to somebody else, and she was talking to Colin Quinn.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he puts his arm around her waist and goes, all right, Irene, let's go. And then the manager of the club called him back, and he walked away. And then I'm like, oh, shit, like, what the hell? And then later I, like, where were you guys going? And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, when Colin Quinn tried to leave with you, she's like, I thought that was you. And I was like, that was not. And she's like, well, I don't know. I would have left with him.
So she was
like,
you would have never
that's hurtful.
You might not have seen Irene again.
Might not have.
For weeks.
Who knows?
Do you have that list? Do you guys have that list of, like, non-friend, I guess, celebrities that you can have a hall pass with? Do you not believe in that? Because even though it's mostly a joke.
I mean, what are the odds?
Well, that'd be weird if Colin Quinn was on our list. That would be very bad.
It's only, there's five names on it. They're all forms of Colin Quinn. Characters he's played.
Colin Quinn from SNL. Colin Quinn from, I don't know.
Celtic Pride.
Can't name any good movies. He's not been in too many movies, actually. This back to movies.
Celtic Pride was the closest I got. I don't even know if he was in that one.
No, I think he was because he's a boss.
He's one of the brothers or something.
Yeah, he was one of the. I don't know if he was one of the kidnappers in that. That was pretty bad. That was one of Ron Shelton's swing and a misses.
The mid-90s were a crazy time.
Yeah, well, I think the sports thing is winding down, and you can't top White Man Can't Jump anyway.
No.
And Bull Durham.
Bull Durham is highly underrated. Baseball fans love it. Non-baseball fans, most of them haven't watched it. They know a little bit of the reference to it. White Men Can't Jump, saw yesterday on VH1 Classic while I was working.
Oh, that's funny.
Nice edited for TV, White Men Can't Jump. It's a classic.
Oh, edited down to a good hour and a half?
Edited down to an hour and a half, and, you know, a few, few words here and there missing.
Or, yeah, when Woody Harrelson says, when he puts that jar of cash by Rosie Perez's vagina and says, I'll put my money, or I'll put your money where my mouth is.
Not in the scene.
Yeah.
Not in the film.
I do like a movie that's kind of wrapped around Jeopardy, which is such a cultural phenomenon. It's like getting on Jeopardy. It's a plot point to a movie and several TV shows.
I had a real moment of, oh, shit, mustachioed Alex Trebek. Forgot about that. It's been such a long run without it. Remember when it was jarring when he came out with the clean face?
Yeah, it is.
It's and like, now it's like, oh, shit, he used to have a mustache. Wild times.
That generation of men always have, like, they can't go anywhere without their mustache.
No, not at all.
And host a show. Well, man, this was, I actually do have to, have a great conversation. I do have to get to work. Because I work here.
Well, yeah.
I appreciate you coming out. Are you going to go?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this was nice. Sometimes we don't get to chat a lot because you're busy at a mic or I don't see you.
Yeah.
And
I'm a fickle conversationalist. A lot of fickleness on the pod today.
Yeah, sometimes we just, it's like
sometimes
that Larry David thing. We just look at each other and we're like, nah.
Not today.
Not today. I don't want to talk to you.
There's something. We did the pod.
Now we're good for months.
We're good for months. We got it in the bank.
Got it in.
You can take the clips that don't air and replay those, you know. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man, they're still hanging out together.
This actually edition of Movie Madness is brought to you by Edibles.
TopicalCBD.com.
Yes.
A big sponsor of mine.
And Buffalo Rehab.
Edible Lunch. EdibleLunch.org. Thanks for having me, man.
I appreciate it. You are, like I said, I haven't had any of the, well, mostly due to my racistism, because I think all the funniest, the last three, there's no legitimacy to that title because no woman has won it.
Fair point. I'm a big fan of females.
And no, they or them. It's just been dudes.
Nope. Just dudes.
I think originally, I can't, do you know all the winners in succession?
Josh Potter, Rick
White
Matthews.
Guy. White guy.
Brian Herberger.
White guy.
Kevin Thomas Jr.
Nope.
Black Jameel guy. Key.
Black guy.
Clayton Williams.
Black guy.
And me.
Mm, you brought the title home. Good job.
I don't co-sign that.
Of course not. Choking on my casual racism. No. Well, no, I... cover for me. This is why you don't have a podcast.
This
you got
is why
another
I don't
dead
have,
silence.
I have
no, you well, Clayton's he's having fun in New York City, so I can't.
Yes.
And I refuse to have Kevin Thomas Jr. because I will not have someone that has a deeper voice than me. Such a
the
deeper voice.
The quiet storm.
Like, yeah, by like three baritones.
He
below
is
me.
Like.
I'm not going to do that.
He should do voiceover work.
He's going to emasculate me just by talking.
He should. He should be a radio person.
He should. He has a very actually a pleasing voice is good to, for comedy too. I feel like you
absolutely.
So he's one up right there because he just comes.
That's
on
a great.
Stage.
It plays in with his persona. He's low voice.
Yes.
Yeah,
nice
that? Leisurely delivery. He gets you there, but it's so pleasing to listen to get there. You're never like, where are we going? You're like, I like this ride.
And he's laid back and chill, what I picture myself as instead of an angry white man, which is such a not good look in America these days.
Ooh.
I'm really trying to do something about that. No, this is great, though. This has come out Monday, and
Happy
have
Monday.
A good. Tell John Lockwood I said nothing.
I will.
Because I don't say anything to him. No, have a good set, certainly, and represent Buffalo. Tell Chris Porter nothing, because I don't know him either.
Fair enough. Thank you very much.
And, oh, wait. Your big announcement. We have your big announcement.
My big announcement is that...
Oh, still going. I don't know how to stop this.